I was in a coffee shop, looking through the want ads, when I read,
Macy's Herald Square, the largest store in the world, has big opportunities for outgoing, fun-loving people of all shapes and sizes who want more than just a holiday job. Working as an elf in Macy's Santaland means being at the center of the excitement.
I circled the ad, and then I laughed out loud. The man seated next to me turned on his stool, checking to see if I was a lunatic. I continued to laugh, quietly, until the check arrived, and I remembered that I don't have a job. Funny how you can forget a thing like that. I brought the ad home, and my roommate, Rusty, and I were laughing about it, and he dared me to call for an interview, so I did. The woman at Macy's asked,
Would you be interested in full-time elf or evening and weekend elf?
I said, full-time elf. I have an appointment next Wednesday at noon. I'm a 33-year-old man applying for a job as an elf. I suppose it could be worse. I often see people on the streets dressed as objects and handing out leaflets. I tend to avoid leaflets, but it breaks my heart to see a grown man dressed as a taco, so if there is a costume involved, I tend not only to accept the leaflet, but to accept it graciously, saying, Thank you so much, and thinking, You poor pathetic son of a b-. This afternoon on Lexington Avenue, I accepted a leaflet from a man dressed as a camcorder. Hot dogs, peanuts, tacos, video cameras. These things make me sad because they don't have a place. They don't fit in on the streets. In a parade, maybe, but not on the streets. I figured that at least an elf, I will have a place. I'll be in Santa's village with all the other elves. We will reside in a fluffy wonderland surrounded by candy canes and gingerbread shacks. It won't be quite as sad as standing on some street corner dressed as a French fry. I am trying to look on the bright side. I arrived in New York 3 weeks ago with high hopes. Hopes that have been challenged. In my imagination, I'd go straight from Penn Station to the offices of One Life to Live, where I would drop off my bags and spruce up before heading off for drinks with my new celebrity friends. Victoria Buchanan, the show's greatest star, would lift her frosty glass in my direction and say,
Everyone, please, please, may I have your attention? I'd like to propose a toast to Clint. Sit down, darling. This isn't about you. I'd like to propose a toast to our friend David, the newest member of our television family. Welcome to Lawnview.
I'd say, You guys, cut it out. Vicky would lay her hand over mine and tell me that I'd better get used to being the center of attention. But instead, I'm applying for a job as an elf. Even worse than applying is the very real possibility that I will not be hired, that I couldn't even find work as an elf. That's when you know you're a failure. I'm down to the wire here, $20 away from walking dogs. After begging my mother for a loan, I applied at a place that covers styrofoam creatures and moss. Left to its own devices, nature can cover things in moss, for free. It's not that difficult a task, but I still didn't get the job. A skill. A person needs a skill. Why hadn't I ever realized that before? In order to become an elf, I filled out 10 pages worth of forms, took a multiple-choice personality test, underwent 2 interviews, and submitted urine for a drug test. The first interview was general, designed to eliminate the obvious sociopaths. During the second interview, we were asked why we wanted to be elves, which, when you think about it, is a fairly tough question. I listened as the woman ahead of me, a former waitress, answered the question saying,
I really want to be an elf because I think it's about acting. And before this, I worked in a restaurant, which was run by this really wonderful woman who had a dream to open a restaurant. And it made me realize that it's really, really important to have a dream.
Everything this woman said, every phrase and sentence, was punctuated with a question mark, and the interviewer never raised an eyebrow. When it was my turn, I explained that I wanted to be an elf because it was one of the most frightening career opportunities I had ever come across. The interviewer raised her face from my application and said,
And?
I'm certain I failed my drug test. My urine had roaches and stems floating in it, but still they called me back for another round of questioning. I met with the 2 head managers for a brief interview where they asked questions related to my interests and hobbies. I can't recall my exact words, but somewhere along the line I expressed an interest in whittling. In truth, the only thing I've ever whittled is a bong. I was just searching for something elf-like and figured I'd pulled it off when they sent me downstairs to fill out a series of tax forms. Afterwards, I was sent to a holding pen where I took a seat beside a female dwarf. This, I thought, was a good sign. Names were called and the smallest people were summoned into the manager's office. After them went the guys with the biggest ears and the woman without chins. I waited a long time, but when I'd given up hope, the manager cocked her finger and led me into her office and I was told,
Congratulations, sir. You are an elf.
I have spent the last several days sitting in a crowded, windowless Macy's classroom undergoing the first phases of elf training. This morning we were lectured by the Santaland managers and presented with a Xeroxed booklet of regulations titled The Elfin Guide. Most of the managers are former elves who have worked their way up the candy cane ladder but retain vivid memories of their days in uniform. Several of the bosses led us in motivational cheers, a concept which stuns me to the core. One guy rolled up his sleeves and yelled,
"Give me an S!
A!
Where's my A?
A!
How about a big ol' N?
A!
Did someone say T?
T!
And let's get a recall on that A?
A!
What does that spell?
Santa!
Who's the man? Santa! Come on, elves, feel good about yourselves. Let's raise the roof. Santa!
It was his goal to send chills down our spine, and personally speaking, I think he did an excellent job. I was mortified. They closed the meeting saying,
"I want you to remember that even if you are assigned photo elf on a busy weekend, you are not Santa's slave."
I spent the rest of my 8-hour day with 50 elves and one perky, well-meaning instructor in an enormous Macy's classroom, the walls of which were lined with NCR 2152s. A 2152, I have come to understand, is a cash register. The class was broken up into study groups and given assignments. My group included several returning elves and a few experienced cashiers who tried helping me by saying things like,
"Don't you even know your personal ID code? Oh, Jesus, I had mine memorized by 10 o'clock.
Everything about the cash register intimidates me. The worst part is that after I've accumulated $300 in my register, I have to remove $200, fill out half a dozen forms, and then run the envelope of cash to the drop in the china department or to the vault on the balcony above the first floor. I will not be allowed to change my clothes beforehand. I'll have to go dressed as an elf. An elf in Santaland is one thing. An elf in sportswear is something else altogether. Today we were told that during the second week of December, Santaland is host to Operation Special Children, at which time poor children receive free gifts donated by the store. There's another morning set aside for terribly sick and deformed children. On that day, it is an elf's job to greet the child at the magic tree and then jog back to the house to brace our Santa. The next one is missing a nose, or Crystal has third-degree burns covering 90% of her body. Missing a nose. With these children, Santa has to be careful not to ask, "And what would you like for Christmas?" Interpreters for the deaf came and taught us sign language.
"Merry Christmas. I am Santa's helper."
They told us to speak as we sign and to use bold, clear voices and a bright facial expression. They taught us to say,
"You are a very pretty girl. I love you. Do you want a surprise?"
My sister Amy lives above a deaf girl and has learned quite a bit about sign language. She taught some to me, and so now I am able to say, "Santa has a tumor in his head the size of an olive. Maybe it will go away tomorrow, but I don't think so." This afternoon we were given a tour of Santaland, which really is something. It's beautiful, a real wonderland with 10,000 sparkling lights, false snow, train sets, bridges, decorated trees, mechanical penguins, and bears, and really tall candy canes. We entered and traveled through an elaborate maze. The charm faded when we were given code names for some of the various stations. The narrow hallway besides the entrance is referred to as the "Oh My God" corner. People arriving to see the long line say,
"Oh My God."
And it is an elf's job to calm them down and explain that it will take no longer than an hour to see Santa. Further along the path, we came to what is known as the vomit corner, a mirrored wall where nauseous children tend to surrender the contents of their stomachs. When someone throws up, the nearest elf is instructed to yell, "Vamoos!" the brand name of the janitorial project used by the store. The path ends at the magic tree. Once you pass the tree, the lights dim, and an elf guides you to Santa's house, which is actually more like a shack in regards to size. There's no sink or toilet, so it's hard to imagine Santa actually living there. It's more like his den or his think tank, but they've gone out of their way to make the place cozy and intimate. The walls lined with toys. Each house has a hidden camera. After the tour, we were given a demonstration of the various positions in action, performed by returning elves who were so animated and relentlessly cheerful that it embarrassed me to walk past them. I don't know that I could look someone in the face and exclaim,
"Oh my goodness, I think I see Santa!"
Or,
"Can you close your eyes and make a very special Christmas wish?"
Everything these elves said had an exclamation point at the end of it. It makes one's mouth hurt to speak with such forced merriment. I feel cornered when someone talks to me this way. Doesn't everyone? I prefer being frank with children. I'm more likely to say, "You look exhausted. Isn't this a school night?" Or, "I know a lot of people who would kill for that little waistline of yours." I'm afraid I won't be able to provide the grinding enthusiasm Santa is asking for. I think I'll be a low-key sort of an elf. Elves have gotten to know one another over the past few days of training, but once we took off our clothes and put on the uniforms, everything changed. This was really going to happen. My costume is green. I wear red and white striped tights, a yellow turtleneck, a forest green velvet smock, and a perky stocking cap decorated with spangles. This is my work uniform. During dress rehearsal, you have to go by your elf name. The other elves chose names like Jingle and Frosty. They take the children by the hand and squeal with forced delight. They sing and prance and behave like cartoon characters come to life. It frightens me. My elf name is Crumpet. Today was the official opening day of Santaland. On any given day, you could be an entrance elf, a water cooler elf, a bridge elf, train elf, maze elf, island elf, magic window elf, emergency exit elf, counter elf, magic tree elf, pointer elf, Santa elf, photo elf, usher elf, cash register elf, runner elf, or exit elf. I worked as a magic window elf. I was at the magic window for 15 minutes before a man approached me and said,
"You look so stupid."
I have to admit that he had a point, but still, I wanted to say that at least I get paid to look stupid, that he gives it away for free. But I can't say things like that because I'm supposed to be merry. So instead I said, "Thank you." Thank you, as if I had misunderstood and thought he had said, "You look terrific. Thank you." He was a brawny wise guy wearing a vinyl jacket and carrying a bag from Radio Shack. I should have said, real loud, "Sorry, man, I don't date other guys." The magic window is really boring. I'm supposed to stand around and stay, step on the magic star and look through the window and you can see Santa. I said that for a while and then I started saying, "Step on the magic star and you can see Cher," and people got excited. Some people in the other line, the line to sit on Santa's lap, went wild and cut through the gate so that they could stand on my magic star. Then they got angry when they looked through the magic window and saw Santa rather than Cher. What did they honestly expect? Is Cher so hard up for money that she'd agree to stand behind a two-way mirror at Macy's?
The following elves are now excused for their afternoon breaks. Puff, Noel, Crumpet, Carol, Lil Frosty, and Dringle.
Our elfin guide says that we must cover our uniforms with a shirt or smock while dining in the cafeteria. It's funny that they would use the word dining. Grown men and women in candy cane leggings do not dine. They feed. For the first week, we had to suffer the jokes of the year-round employees who laughed at our costumes, not knowing that we make more money than they do. Most of the elves are high school and college students. They're young and cute, and one of the job perks is that I get to see them in their underpants. The changing rooms are located in the employee bathrooms behind Santaland. The men's bathroom is small, and their toilets often flood. So, we are forced to stand on an island of newspaper to keep our socks dry. The Santas have a nice dressing room across the hall, but you don't want to see a Santa undress. The overall cutest elf is a fellow from Queens named Snowball. Snowball tends to ham it up with the children, sometimes literally tumbling down the path to Santa's house. I tend to frown on that sort of behavior, but Snowball is hands down adorable. You want to put him in your pocket. Yesterday we worked together as Santa's elves, and I became excited when he started saying things like,
"I'd follow you to Santa's house any day, Crumpet."
It made me dizzy, this flirtation. By mid-afternoon, I was running into walls. At the end of our shift, we were in the bathroom, changing clothes, when suddenly, we were surrounded by three Santas and five other elves. All of them were guys that Snowball had been flirting with. Snowball just leads elves on. Elves and Santas. Later, we were in the elevator, and I heard him say to his friend,
"I don't know what all these guys want with me. It gives me the creeps the way they stare."
Snowball is playing a dangerous game. It's one thing to get a child fired up, but you really don't want to be working under a jilted Santa.
Breaking elves should now report to the manager station for reassignment. Break is over.
At least a third of Santa's visitors are adults, couples, and a surprising number of men and women alone. Most of the single people don't want to sit on Santa's lap. They just stop by to shake his hand and wish him luck. Often the single adults are foreigners who just happen to be shopping at Macy's and got bullied into the maze by the entrance elf whose job it is to hustle people in. One moment the foreigner is looking at China, and the next thing he knows, he is standing at the magic tree where an elf holding a palm-sized counter asks, "How many in your party?" The foreigner answers,
"Yes."
How many in your party is not a yes or no question.
Yes.
Then a Santa elf leads the way to a house where the confused and exhausted visitor addresses a bearded man in a red suit and says,
"Yes, okay. Today I am good."
There was this one guy who came to visit Santa, a sloppy, good-looking man in his mid-40s. I thought he was another confused European, so I reassured him that many adults come to visit Santa. Everyone is welcome. An hour later, I noticed the same man back again to fellowship with Santa. I asked what he and Santa talked about, and in a cracked and puny voice, he answered,
"Toys. All the toys."
I noticed a dent in the left side of his forehead. You could place an acorn in a dent like this. He waited in line and returned to visit a third time. On his final visit, he got so excited he peed in Santa's lap. So far in Santaland, I have seen the old Simone from General Hospital, Sean from All My Children, Walter Cronkite, and Phil Collins. Last year, one of the elves was suspended after asking Goldie Hawn to autograph her hand. We have been instructed to leave the stars alone. Phil Collins was small and well-groomed. He arrived with his daughter and an entourage of three. I don't care about Phil Collins one way or the other, but I saw some people who might, and it was my duty to tap them on the shoulder and say, "Look, there's Phil Collins." Many of Santa's visitors are from out of town and welcome the opportunity to view a celebrity as it rounds out their New York experience. I'd point out Phil Collins, and people would literally squeal with delight. Seeing as it is my job to make people happy, I didn't have any problem with it. Phil Collins wandered through the maze, videotaping everything with his camcorder and enjoying himself. Once he entered the magic tree, he was no longer visible to the maze audience, so I began telling people that if they left immediately and took a right at the end of the hall, they could probably catch up with Phil Collins after his visit with Santa. So they did. People left. When Phil Collins walked out of Santaland, there was a crowd of 50 to 60 people waiting for autographs. When the managers came looking for the big mouth, I said, "Phil Collins? Who's he?" All the Santas have different routines. Some want the children's name, so as you're leading their youngsters from the magic tree, you say,
"What was your name again? It's right on the tip of my mind where I can't get at it."
Then they say their name and you say,
"That's right, Van."
You lead them to Santa's door and say,
"Let me just check to see if he's ready."
And you poke your head in and whisper,
"Van!"
Then, half the time, you'll usher the child into the house and Santa will say,
"Stan, it's so good to see you."
It's hard to keep some of the names straight, and some of the names are names I've never heard before. Venetia, Fontage, Great. A child named Great. I'm Great. That's a name which is bound to prove challenging once he gets old enough to start sleeping around. Santa Howard uses names, sits the kids on his lap, and asks if they've been good and what they want for Christmas. And then asks what they plan to leave him on Christmas Eve. And they say,
"Cookies and milk."
And he asks,
"What kind of cookies?"
And they say,
"Chocolate chip."
Or whatever. And he demands that the photo elf say, "Chocolate chip? That's Santa's favorite kind of cookie." I don't mind saying it, but I must have said it 60 times today. Then in the afternoon, Santa Howard got an Asian child who wasn't familiar with the idea of leaving cookies. Santa asked what she was going to leave him to eat, and she got a puzzled look on her face. He said,
"Something round to eat?"
And she said,
"A potato?"
I hate working with Santa Doug, who tends to spit when he talks. It just gushes out every time he opens his mouth. Tonight, a little girl wiped her face, asking,
"Santa, why are you spitting on me?"
Doug explained that it wasn't spit, just simply frost coming off his beard. That might work on a 6-year-old, but what does he tell his friends? The worst is Santa. I don't know his real name. No one does. During most days, there's a slow period when you sit around the house and talk to your Santa. Most of them are nice guys, and we sit around and laugh. But Santa takes himself a bit too seriously. I asked him where he lives, Brooklyn or Manhattan? And he said,
"Why, I live at the North Pole with Mrs. Claus."
I asked what he does the rest of the year, and he said,
"I make toys for all of the children."
I was like, "Yeah, but what do you do for money?"
"Santa doesn't need money,"
he said. Santa sits and waves and jingles his bell sash when no one is there. He actually recited the night before Christmas, and it was just the two of us in the house. No children, just us. What do you do with a nut like that? He says,
"Oh, little elf, bring Santa a throat lozenge."
I reminded him that I have a name, Crumpet, and then I brought him a lozenge. Santa has an elaborate little act for the children. He'll talk to them and give a hearty chuckle and ring his bells, and then he asks them to name their favorite Christmas carol. Most of them say Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Santa then asks if they will sing it for him. The children are shy and don't want to sing out loud, so Santa says,
"Oh, little elf, help young Brenda to sing that favorite carol of hers."
Then I have to sit there and sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which I hate. Then, late in the afternoon, a child said that she didn't know what her favorite Christmas carol was. Santa suggested Away in the Manger. The little girl agreed to it, but didn't want to sing it because she didn't know the words. Santa said,
"Oh, little elf, come sing Away in the Manger for us."
It didn't seem fair that I should have to solo, so I told him I didn't know the words. Santa said,
"Of course you know the words. Come now, sing."
So I sing it the way Billie Holiday might have sung it if she'd put out a Christmas album. Santa did not allow me to finish. Out of all the Santas, two are black and both are so light-skinned that, with the beard and makeup, you would be hard-pressed to determine their race. Last week, a black woman became upset when, having requested a Santa of color, she was sent to Jerome.
"He's not black,"
the woman complained. We assured the woman that Jerome was indeed black. The woman said,
"Well, he isn't black enough."
Jerome is a difficult Santa. Moody, unpredictable. He spends a lot of time staring off into space and tallying up his paycheck for the hours he has worked so far. Jerome seems to have his own bizarre agenda. When the children arrive, he looks down at his boots and lectures them, suggesting a career in entomology. He tells them that the defensive spray of the stink bug may contain medicinal powers that can one day cure mankind of communicable diseases.
"Do you know about holistic medicine?"
he asks. The photo elf takes a picture of yawning children. The last time I was the pointer elf, a woman approached me and whispered,
"We would like a traditional Santa. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about."
I sent her to Jerome. A man pulled Snowball aside, saying,
"Last year we were stuck with a chocolate Santa. Make sure it doesn't happen again."
Today I was a pointer elf for all of 5 minutes before a woman touched my arm and mouthed,
"White. White like us."
I've had requests from both sides. White Santa. Black Santa. A pointer elf is instructed to shrug his shoulders and feign ignorance, saying, "There's only one Santa." Today I worked as an exit elf, telling people in a loud voice,
"This way, out of Santa Land."
A woman was standing at one of the cash registers paying for her pictures while her son lay beneath her, kicking and heaving, having a tantrum. The woman said,
"Riley, if you don't start behaving yourself, Santa's not going to bring you any of those toys you asked for."
The child said,
"He is too going to bring me the toys, liar. He already told me."
So the woman grabbed my arm and said,
"You there, elf. Tell Riley here that if he doesn't start behaving immediately, then Santa's going to change his mind and bring him coal for Christmas."
I said that Santa no longer traffics in coal. Instead, if you're bad, he comes to your house and steals things. I told Riley that if he didn't behave himself, Santa was going to take away his TV and all of his electrical appliances and leave him in the dark. All your appliances, including the refrigerator, your food is going to spoil and smell bad. It's going to be so cold and dark where you are. Man, Riley, are you ever going to suffer? You're going to wish you never heard the name Santa. The woman got a worried look on her face and said,
"All right, that's enough."
I said he's going to take your car and your furniture and all the towels and blankets and leave you with nothing. The woman said,
"That's enough, really."
"Attention, Macy's shoppers. Remember that you've only got 12 shopping days left before Christmas."
I got a new haircut today, and a few people complimented me, but it didn't register. I spend all day lying to people, saying, "You look so pretty," and "Santa can't wait to visit with you. You're all he talks about. It's just not Christmas without you. You're Santa's favorite person in the entire tri-state area." Sometimes I lay it on real thick. "Aren't you the princess of Rongovia? Santa said a beautiful princess was coming here to visit him. He said she would be wearing a red dress and that she was very pretty, but not stuck up or two-faced. That's you, isn't it?" I lay it on and the parents mouth the words,
"Thank you."
And,
"Good job."
To one child I said, "You're a model, aren't you?" The girl was maybe 6 years old and said,
"Yes, I model, but I also act. I just got a second callback for a Fisher-Price commercial."
The girl's mother said,
"You may recognize Caitlin from the My First Sony campaign. She's on the box."
I said, "Yes, of course." All I do is lie, and that has made me immune to compliments. I think I'm starting to lose it.
Attention, holiday shoppers! Remember that there are only 9 days before Christmas.
I changed my elf name from Crumpet to Blisters. It's a little on the trollish side, but circumstances have eroded my elfin spirit. I was with Santa Carl when a mother came in with her child saying,
"All right, Jason, tell Santa what you want. Tell him what you want."
Jason said,
"I want Procton and Gamble to stop animal testing."
The mother rapped her son over the head saying,
"Proctor! That's Procter and Gamble. And what do they do to animals? Do they torture animals, Jason? Is that what they do?"
Jason said,
"Yes, they torture."
He was maybe 6 years old.
"Attention, everyone, from your friends at Macy's. Remember that you have only 7 more shopping days until Christmas."
Today, a child told Santa Ken that he wanted his dead father back and a complete set of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Everyone wants those turtles.
"Look, people, you've got only 3 more days to shop for Christmas."
I manned the Oh My God corner. We were packed, absolutely packed, and everyone seemed to stop me with a question.
"Which way to the down escalator?
Which way to the elevator?
Oh, the patio restaurant?
Gift wrap?
Trimetry?"
There was a line for Santa, and a line for the women's bathroom, and one woman, having asked me 1,000 questions already, got up in my face asking,
"Which is the line for the women's bathroom?"
I shouted that I thought it was the line with all the women in it. Then she said,
"I'm going to have you fired."
I had 2 people say that to me today. "I'm going to have you fired. Go ahead, be my guest. I'm wearing a green velvet costume. It doesn't get any worse than this. Who do these people think they are? I'm going to have you fired." And I wanted to lean over and say, "I'm going to have you killed."
"This is just a reminder that Macy's will be closed on Christmas Day.
This leaves you with one more shopping day. That's it. One.
This was my last day of work. We'd been told that Christmas Eve would be slow, but this was the busiest I'd ever seen it. The chaos a week's worth of training had prepared us for. 23,000 desperate people behaving as though they were trying to board the last train out of town. I started at the Magic Tree, where I witnessed a fist fight between two mothers. I watched as a woman experienced a severe, crowd-related anxiety attack. Falling to the filthy floor, she groped for breath, her arms moving as if she was fighting off bats. Parents in long lines tossed disposable diapers into the candy cane forest and offered cash bribes to cut in line. A Long Island father called Santa a when he refused to recite The Night Before Christmas to his child, and through it all, the noise was deafening with children crying and parents shouting,
"What more do you want me to do? We're here, all right? Now shut up!"
This was the rowdiest crowd I'd ever seen, and we were short on elves, many of whom waited until the last minute to show their true colors, calling in sick or simply not showing up. Many elves complained, but the rest of us found ourselves in the moment we'd been waiting for. It was us against them. Time to be a trooper, and I surrendered completely. I was sent to Santa Randy, who had them on the lap and off the lap in 30 seconds flat. He was like one of those talking dolls equipped with no more than six simple phrases.
I know what you want for Christmas. There's no need to even tell me because Santa knows everything. Ready for a picture? Goodness, that was fun. All right then, see you next year.
His lap would still be warm from the last child and he'd turn to me saying,
I deserve an affair, damn it. Nothing life-threatening, just something to hold me over for the next few years.
Children would be waiting at the door and he'd snap out of it saying,
I know what you want for Christmas. There's no need to even tell me because Santa knows everything. Hey, how about a picture? Goodness, that was fun. All right then, see you next year.
When his shift ended, Randy was replaced by a Santa I'd never worked with before. Usually the guy's name is written on the water cups they keep hidden on the toy shelf. I looked on the cup and saw no name. It was early evening and we were too busy to pause for an introduction. Noting a group of visitors huddled upon his doorstep, my Santa began to sing A Pretty Girl Is Like a Melody. The parents and children entered the room and, noting the young girl, Santa held his gloved hand to his chest and fell back upon his cushion, faking a massive heart attack. He moaned for a few moments before saying,
Elf? Elf? Are you there?
Yes, Santa, I'm here.
Elf, I just had a dream that I was seated before the most beautiful girl in the world. She was right here, in my house.
Then I say, It wasn't a dream, Santa. Open your eyes, my friend. She's standing before you right this moment. Santa rubbed his eyes.
Oh, heavenly day.
He said,
You are the most beautiful girl I've seen in 617 years.
Then he scooped her up into his lap and flattered every aspect of her character. The child was delirious, the center of attention. Santa then gestured towards the child's mother, asking,
Is that your sister I see standing in the corner?
No, that's my mother, silly.
Santa called the woman close and asked if she had been a good mother.
Do you tell your daughter that you love her? Do you tell her every day?
The mother blushed, saying,
I try, Santa.
And you, sir, step forward.
The father shuffled to Santa's feet.
What do you do besides make money? If I were lucky enough to have young Kathleen as my daughter, I'd kiss her forehead 10 times a day and thank her for bringing such joy into my life. Let me see you do that. It would mean a lot to me.
The father kissed his daughter's forehead. Santa ended the visit saying,
Remember that the most important thing is to try and love other people as much as they love you.
The great thing about this Santa is that he never even asked what the children wanted. He tailored his reception to each specific group. The main thing was that he made them feel welcome and relaxed enough to drop their guard and submit to his idea of Christmas. Me, I can go any old way. If you want to hustle them along, then I will be your sheepdog, herding them in one door and out the other. If you want to make fun of them, I'm one step ahead of you. This, though, it threw me completely because I'm not a good person and never have been. Before this evening, I'd never even been accidentally mistaken for a good person. But suddenly I was good by association. Families left, grabbing my hands and thanking me. These were grown men and women, crying like babies on the night before Christmas. My plane was set to leave at 8 o'clock, and I stayed until the very last moment. It was with reservation that I reported to the manager, telling her I had to leave. And oh, suddenly I love this woman. She's raised her voice a few times, but her anger had been directed at the old me. I felt certain she would recognize the change, and together we would share a special moment. Maybe we'd cry for a moment or two, and surely I'd be left with the kind of warmth a person can hold in their hearts forever. I'd stuck it out and expected she might want to place my cap in the Elfin Hall of Fame. I searched the room and joined her behind the counter, where she was talking to a customer. I touched her arm and said, I have to go now. She laid her hand on my shoulder, squeezed it gently, and continued her conversation, saying,
Don't tell the store manager I called you a b-. Tell him I called you a f***ing b-, because that's exactly what you are.
Now get out of my sight before I do something we both regret.
The customer fled, and me, I was one step ahead of her.